Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Did we react? Did Hugh Douglas overreact last week? I mean, that's really the story around here.
I ain't overreacting. I probably overreacted this morning, though.
No, I loved it. It was great.
I was told I was crashing out. That was crazy.
Crashing out.
Crashing out, bro.
No, I just think you came in fired up today, and we talked about it.
No, Will has some sage advice. Man, calm down. He basically told me, calm your punk ass down. He's like, man, calm your ass down.
Why has the Cyretic been on four of football teams?
It was probably the most fired up you were since that day when you yelled about Hassan Reddick. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here. Did we overreact? And then we got to get to this the situation in the NFC, because, Hugh, it's been a while now. We've kind of been honing in on Lions-Eagles. Eagles-Lions.
Yeah, that's been the talk of the town.
Feels like we might have a third team to keep our eye on down the stretch this season. First, though, Eric is up on WIP. What's up, Eric? Eric?
Moment too big.
Go
on. Sorry, I had to unmute. Oh,
that's all right. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so I'm just calling in because I do believe that you guys overreact a little bit, you guys being media and fans. And I don't mean overreact like if you're out with your girlfriend and your waitress calls you sweetie and she tries to attack her because, you know, you're her man. Not like an overreaction like that. More like when we're saying, oh, AJ is not happy that he's not getting as many passes. Who are we going to get rid of in the offseason, Jalen Hurts or AJ Brown? Because obviously we can't keep them both because AJ Brown's unhappy.
Wait,
so just kind of stuff like that.
Wait a minute, who what you talking about? Okay, that was a conversation. Okay, I give you that. That was a conversation to be in.
Kind of an offshoot of the whole big thing.
Because
that's why I'm saying it's not a overreaction, but stuff like that probably. AJ Brown's probably going, man, I'm just complaining because I had four targets and I'm the number one receiver. Now I'm out of here.
Well,
you know,
I think part of that was because of the way it looked like it was spinning out of control, and I think that was during earlier in the day Monday, because we got to have time. We got to time stamp these things, man, because I feel like people are like overreacting to what we said or what actually happened. Now, that was a conversation because I think last year people were having shades of what happened last year. And that's why a lot of people said that. But then when it was reinforced Monday, that's when we kind of, you know, that's when it kind of, you know, had a life of his own.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Eric. There's levels to it, right? There's reaction, and then there's appropriate reaction, and then there's maybe going, like, the reality is it was probably a real thing. They had their issues within the conversation between AJ and Jalen and Brandon, but they moved on, and it probably wasn't to the point where anyone's going to be off the team next year because of it. Like, there's levels to it.
Exactly. So it should have been talked about. You guys are the media. It just was a little too far in certain aspects. And another aspect were totally okay. And it is AJ's fault. And when it happened, I said, I can't believe he would say something like that. He knows what the media does, but maybe he was trying to move it a little bit. But then obviously it got a little out of hand. That's all I wanted to really say.
Well, I get it. And I think, and Eric, we pierced the phone call. Now, Hugh, here's the thing about it getting out of hand or people taking it in different directions. Because he was mentioning one specific offshoot of the conversation last week, right? Like, if they don't fix this, who are they going to choose in the offseason?
Yeah.
But when you leave things open or interpretation,
that's what we do.
Right. And look, we also have history in the NFL where when quarterbacks and receivers beef, usually,
especially here,
at some point there's a divorce and someone leaves. And one that happened recently in the NFL was the Bills, right?
They had Stephon Diggs.
And Josh Allen. And they made a decision this offseason to move off of Diggs. And I remember the reaction was, wow, they got worse at wide receiver. Look at their team now. They obviously, they didn't feel that way.
It was addition by subtraction.
It was. Now, I think AJ's better than Diggs and he's younger. I want AJ on this team. I just mean, like, Hugh, it's natural for people to wonder, like, if the quarterback and receiver are beefing, will the team eventually choose one? I think that's it just goes into your head, right?
Yeah, and that's the natural progression. Like, people say it's overreacting. We've seen this happen in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural progression to a conversation, especially if it's left, the door is left open when you talk about the quarterback and the receiver aren't getting along. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm not too, you know, versed on what was going on in Buffalo, but it was something similar. It was a lot of sneak dissing, if you will.
Yeah. I like that. It was sneak dissing.
Yeah, sneak dissing and innuendo that was implied. So they said, we're just going to nip it in the bud. We're going to move on. And they've been a better team for it. And so when people say, oh, you're overreacting, there's too many examples in the NFL where things like this have happened. And for somebody to sit there and say that conversation wasn't warranted. But I give you that one.
And it happens all the time in the NFL. Now, it just so happened here, it got loud, it got big. But I thought last week was actually, and I said this last week, I thought it could be a good thing because they couldn't avoid it anymore. They couldn't ignore it. They had to talk it out. It sounded like they did. 215-592-9494. Let's go to David in Doylestown. Hey, David.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, David?
Now, let me tell you, you boys didn't overreact. People need to realize you give us such an wonderful platform to express ourselves. You give us access to this team. You make us feel part of it. If anyone overreacted, it's the NFL and these PR departments that give us this, you know, ho-hum face they want to put on everything. They hold these players and coaches like prisoners. They can't say and express themselves with all these dynamic personalities. But you guys allow us to do that. You bring up topics. You let us talk about it and express ourselves, and it makes us feel more connected. You know, the NFL, not just the Eagles, but the NFL as a whole should take this as an example of what they could do to make people get more into football. If it wasn't for you guys, if I was stuck with the national pregame shows, I might not be into it as much. So I appreciate what you guys do. I love you all. And yeah, that's it.
Well, David, we appreciate it. I think what David was sitting
appreciate
there.
Appreciate you, Dave. I'm 53, though, man.
I know.
53 years old.
Well, why are you referencing your birthday?
Ass boy.
Oh, but you boys, he said. You boys.
Yeah, I'm 53.
Well, I mean, none of us.
I got a whole 401k. I'm in my. Hey, if I'm going to be in my feelings, damn it, I'm pushing all in.
At what age are you no longer a boy?
53. At this point, 53.
So wait, I'm 38. Am I a boy?
No.
Okay,
Do you have a 401k?
I do.
Do you pay bills?
I have lots of them.
You are officially no longer a boy.
Wow, I found something out today. I didn't know. I'm no longer a boy. All right, Hugh, let's talk about a team that maybe we didn't consider men in the conversation, but maybe they are. That is the Minnesota Vikings. Hugh, they win again last night. They are 12-2 now. Hugh Douglas,
12-2,
are you taking the Vikings seriously?
Nah, I am, because when you look at the standings, who they got? They got Detroit in the last game.
So their next three games.
Green Bay.
They got this week, they're at Seattle. Then they host Green Bay.
I think they get Seattle.
And then they are in Detroit.
Yeah, so right now, I was just looking at the standings.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pretty strong chance of winning the first seed. Like, that's a team. You know what the crazy thing about it? Because they have a direct path to the number one seed with Detroit.
So the two North teams have the most direct path, right?
Yes.
If one of those two, Detroit or Minnesota, wins out, they're going to get it.
Yes.
And we won't.
Yes. They have the most direct path, man. And I know we're holding out for that. We got to stay our course. We got to take care of business this weekend. But, man, when you talk about what they've been able to do, those white uniforms last night were fire, too.
Yeah, they were pretty
cool.
Just
want to put that out there. They have a direct path. They are more in control of their destiny right now than we are.
Yeah, the two North teams are in control. The Eagles, they need each of those teams to lose a game. Obviously, they're going to play each other, so one of them will lose
cancel
the last
out.
Game.
Yeah.
But that we need the team that loses the last game, we need that the other team to lose a game somewhere else, right? Like to make it
so
even
we need,
out.
Like, I don't think it's going to be this weekend.
So let's go through the schedules here and then see how we play this out. Hugh, this weekend, let's go with Detroit first. We know they're banged up, but they do get two losing teams in the next couple weeks. Detroit goes to Chicago this weekend. Hugh, they're not losing the Bears. The Bears.
I had my opportunity last week, a couple weeks ago.
You know the Bears haven't won a game. They were 4-2 when they had the Hail Mary dropped on them against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to finish 4-13. They're going to finish with an 11. That team stinks. All right, so Detroit goes to Chicago. I think Detroit's going to win that game, Hugh.
You felt me, Kyle, because I feel like putting it out there, but I don't feel it as strong today.
I mean, they haven't won a game in 2 months.
Kyle, like, I want to put it out there.
Nah, there's
and say
no
that
way,
that,
man. I mean,
ask, like, I know this is not what we
they
do.
They look like they gave up last night.
Ask me tomorrow.
No.
Ask me Tuesday.
Have a take right now.
No, who wins Sunday, Bears or Lions? I mean, come on.
No, but it's not. It's too early in the week.
All right, I'll tell you. The Lions are going to win that game.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Because I want to say the Bears.
Well, we all do.
But I want to say it with conviction.
They haven't won in 2 months. This is it? This is the week?
This is the week.
Okay.
I'm feeling it. All well, right. I'm not that. I don't feel I it that
we,
strong.
We
but
feel that you're not really
as
there.
As the week progresses, yeah.
All right.
I'm feeling it. They're going to get this one.
So Detroit goes to Chicago. Then they go to San Francisco. Obviously, San Francisco, not what we expected, and they've fallen off. And then they finish with Minnesota. Eagles at Washington, host Dallas, host the Giants. And then, Hugh, you got Minnesota at Seattle, Green Bay at home, at Detroit. That's their final three.
See, if Detroit loses to Green, if Detroit loses to the Chicago Bears,
mm-hmm.
then we need Detroit to beat Minnesota.
Yep.
I want to say that's going to happen, but you, like today, Tuesday, I feel like as the week progresses, I feel like they can get that game, man.
So you know what the craziest part about this is? Hugh, this happens once in a while, but it's pretty rare. The Eagles could go 15-2 and get the 2 seed,
yes.
Not get a bye. And Minnesota or Detroit could go 14-3 and be a wild card.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because whoever doesn't win the division
is going to be the five seed. Yeah, man. I think the Bears can get it done this weekend.
Your betting account's empty. You told me this on Thanksgiving, and then we got floosed.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm feeling it, even though they took the hell out. I'm going to say, yeah, they get this one this weekend, man. I'm feeling it. I'm starting to warm up.
Hughes Bears?
The Bears. I'm rolling with the Bears this weekend.
Dude, I feel sorry for you.
I'm going to put $3 on that thing, too.
You're going to be out of money in that account.
You're going to be out $3.
Hey, no, you know what? Forget. I'm gonna go ahead and push out my chips off $5.
Dude, that stuff adds up, man.
$500 on the Bears winning this weekend.
So why? You know, you gotta stop.
You asked me to have a take.
I did. We did. Yeah.
And I feel like the Bears gonna get it done this weekend because they're doing it for the rest of the world.
When I said have a take, I meant have a good take.
You didn't specify. Yeah,
that was not specified on WIP. It would sound a lot different around here. 215-592-9494. All right, so quickly, we take the Vikings seriously? Yes?
We definitely take the Vikings seriously.
I take them more seriously than
the
month
ago. I take the Bears seriously this weekend, too. I mean, warming up to it.
No, the Bears are not serious here.
I'm warming up to it.
The Bears haven't won in 2 months.
I'm warming up to it. No, because you asked me a question.
Four games this year.
And I've been workshopping it in my head.
So
yes. This is the weekend.
No, workshop it better.
I didn't take the Vikings seriously, but they just keep winning. The only games they lost were to the Lions by like a couple points in October, and they lost a Thursday night game against the Rams.
Joe. You know who else didn't take the Vikings serious?
Who?
Kyle. He didn't take them seriously.
Well,
either.
That's true. He eliminated them from the playoffs in week one. Kyle, you take the Vikings seriously?
Hold on, dude. Well, listen. There's a difference between me thinking before the season started that the Vikings weren't going to be good. Yes, there is. What did you think the Vikings were going to be?
I didn't think they were going to be 12-2?
No.
I didn't have a thought on
the
Vikings.
No, a lot of people had him as one of the worst rosters in football.
But you had a thought, and you thought that they weren't going to be in the playoffs.
You're stuck with the Jags and the Titans in your playoff picture.
We ain't talking about you right now. We're talking about you.
No, we'll get to you again. Later on, buddy.
You're in big trouble.
The Vikings don't blow you away with anything in particular.
They just keep winning.
Besides the fact that they're coached really, really well.
On both sides. And they have the best receiver in the NFL who's a problem in any game he plays.
I think you have to take him seriously.
I know. I mean, you don't think Sam Darnold, but he's had a nice year.
This isn't the Case Keenum 2017. Like, Sam Darnold's a talented player.
Sure, he was a top three pick in the draft. Yeah. You're right over there.
No, I mean, I guess I can't argue that because he has been playing well.
He's been playing really well.
Boy, he was.
He came into the league as a top pick.
Yeah, he did.
He has talent.
He couldn't even make it in Carolina.
Couldn't make it. I mean, there's some Baker
Mayfield.
Who makes it there?
You know what? Hey, you know what? And to be fair, I mean, sometimes quarterbacks need a reset. Yeah, they need a reset.
Couldn't make it with the Jets.
Nobody can make it with the Jets.
You won defensive rookie of the year.
Aaron Rodgers went there and went bad.
But if we keep it in the beat, it ain't like he lit it up last night.
Not last night.
Yeah, he was one TD.
But he's got to have like 30 touchdowns this season or close to it.
I mean, he's playing well, but it's just like...
All right, it sounds like you don't take the Vikings seriously.
He got 29 touchdowns, 11. No, I mean, they're a well-coached team.
I'm looking forward to playoff Hugh because he was dismissing the Niners, or not the Niners, the Lions.
He's dismissed everyone.
Now he's dismissing the Vikings.
Riding with the Bears this weekend.
This is where you lose me.
The more I talk about it, the more you hear the confidence in my voice.
Did you exhaust all your brain cells on that going off on that open?
He did. It's over. He lost it for the rest of the day. Let's go to Bill in Warrington. What's up, Bill?
Oh, is that me?
Are you Bill?
It's all us.
You're only Bill on the phone.
Yeah, sorry, no, I know, but Bill's a common name. So
well, Bill in Warrington. Are you in Warrington?
Yeah, okay. That's me. I'm good. I'm sorry. I was just taking my medicine.
He's taking his medicine. Leave him alone.
I thought I had more time. My bad. But before overreacting as far as all this stuff going, I apologize if I long saw you. I know how you are about that, but give me a minute. I'm a first time caller, but
all right, go ahead, Cook, Bill.
Since this is your first time, we're going to allow you to talk.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. This whole overreacting, it's just nonsense for us. It's nonsense for you guys. The team is the one that should be really being looked at. I mean, they are the professional athletes whose job is to do on the field and also handle what criticism comes at them off the field. That's why they're paid what they're paid. I'm not saying anything horrible criticism, but you know what I mean. You're allowed to boo, you cheer, the whole works. When we fans hear something, of course we're going to overreact. I mean, this is our team. We live for this team. I'm a 4% listener, 36,000 minutes or something. They just sent me a little thing. I don't know what those badges mean from 94.1, but I listen a lot. You know,
that's a lot of minutes, Bill. Yeah, you're a top listener.
That means you listen a lot.
We appreciate
that. People must have got the badges today.
Yeah, you get your badge?
I ain't getting one because I'm here every day.
Top 4 or 5%, 36,000 minutes, 20 or so consecutive weeks, whatever. Mm-hmm. I listen to shows all day. I'm a Fox Hole guy for the whole station. So, but back to cooking. I'm sorry. The team should have literally just dealt with this in-house as much as they could have. And then people, you know, the media is going to run with this. That's your job. Your job is to see something that's attractive, that people will bite on, and to go with that. And hopefully to run with it in a proper way so as not to skew things and make it look negative or anything like that, or positive, whatever way it goes. But media's job is a little bit to overreact to what the teams do. And then it's the fans' jobs to overreact to what the media overreacts to what the coaches over and the team overreacts to. It's a whole cycle. But in this one, I mean, they started it. It should have been kept in-house. Of course, you guys are going to run with it. Who wouldn't? I mean, that's gravy, man. Your business is ratings, and this is going to get people to call.
It's a big story. And we appreciate listening and being part of the show. Well, he said he was going to long
talk.
But he got
his first.
We let him cook.
We appreciate you calling, man.
On all the listening, 36,000 minutes.
Appreciate that. But that's the last time you get the long talk, though, if you call back.
You've become the long talk police here.
Yeah, a little bit. Because it's hard to pay attention to all that long talking, man. Get to your point.
Well, I mean, if we're just doing off of what other people do, the head coach long talks.
He does. No, he's gotten better, though.
Yes, he's gotten better.
He's gotten better.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
Y'all can leave me alone by being sensitive, too. I'm older. I'm allowed to be sensitive at 53.
In your old age?
Yes. I am not the only one. I think that's in the AARP thing. I'm allowed to be a little sensitive.
Is this you telling us that you're admitting you're plant-based?
No, I'm just saying. I was a little sensitive this morning. No, like the kids say, I crashed out a little bit.
I wonder if Ike's next. I mean, we know Richie's been very emotional on the air the last couple of years. Now
you think Ike's going to crash out?
Well, it seems like he's next.
A cycle.
I mean, Richie got
overly emotional. Ike liked the long talk, too, sometimes.
Well, I think he's just pontificating. I don't know if he's long talking.
Ike liked the whole court, man. That's my dog, but he liked the long talk sometimes, too.
All right, let's go to Brooke. Hopefully not long talking. What's up, Brooke?
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are you doing?
All right, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, it's a lot of bandwagon going on. One week is Jaden driving. Last week he made a comment. You see when he got to the podium, he said, look, I get a 3 out of y'all giving me negativity. Mm-hmm. What's with all that negativity? I mean, now, are y'all happy? That's all I want to know. Is everybody happy that now Jalen rocked it? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, of course. But why wouldn't I be happy? He played well. I mean, that's right. The whole point. Yeah, so that is what I wanted to
say. Right, but you can't give him credit when he has humility and plays the coach's game when Saquon was getting the stuff off and we were winning. That wasn't good enough for you, right?
Well, no, but we can be honest, Brooke. Like, let's go back to the Panthers game. He had throws, and he missed them or didn't see them and didn't throw them on time. Like, if he had threw the ball better or seen the field better that week, he would have had better stats. That wasn't all the coaches.
So we got a one-game pool we're going to talk about.
Okay, well, but that was the game last week that caused
it. He played a terrible game. I get that. Yeah, yeah. All right, but let's say that he beat the Bills last year. He beat Kansas City. He beat Burrow. He beat the best quarterbacks. I mean,
I don't give a shit.
Give him some credit.
Sure, he's a good.
That's
a good.
All I'm asking.
Well, I mean, Brooke, he's a good quarterback. I think we all recognize that he's been a good quarterback here since he took over. But what does that have to do with this year and trying to win the Super Bowl? Like, that was the whole conversation
last
week.
We're not trying. He's going to win. Did you not hear what he said? Keep giving
me
negativity.
He didn't say they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Winning is the main thing. Isn't that what he tell you every week?
Yeah, I kind of hope he does come out and say we're going to win the Super Bowl, because that'd be fun to talk about him. I need a guarantee, bro, from Jalen Hurts.
If he come out and say that, guess what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks?
That.
That'll be our fault, too.
Hey, look, man, look, I love y'all. I ain't going to kill you on time. I'll call y'all next week.
No, right,
you got it, Brooke.
We appreciate you calling.
I think he got the memo about long talking.
No, he did. He kept it clear and concise.
So what, is long talking a second count, like a minute or two,
or do you just feel it? It's one of those things where if you say for instance, somebody called in and said, you know, you guys are blowing this out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me how we blow it out of proportion. Get to that point. Don't set it up. This ain't a story that you tell. This ain't story hour. You know what I mean? Because people want to talk about stuff and give you filler about the story that you don't need. If you sit here and say, we blow it out of proportion, okay, bullet points, how do we blow it out of proportion? Mm-hmm. Instead of giving me like a whole soliloquy about how we blew it out. I don't need all that, dog, because I got ADD. And I ain't got time to be trying to figure out and pull out what you're trying to say when you give me paragraphs.
Yeah, WIP story hour actually be a good
no,
thing.
No, we ain't got no time for that.
Late night story hour on WIP.
Everybody got time.
Call
that,
in, tell your story as long as it takes. Actually, that was a segment during the pandemic. Pandemic with Glenn and Ray. Tell us your story, and they would bring on guests, and they would like just.
Oh no, I did that. I did that one time.
You were part of telling us your story.
Yeah, because it was Ray Diddy. Him and Ray Diddy.
We
did
gotta
it, right?
dig this audio up, Kyle.
Yeah,
we talked about my journey.
Yeah, my journey from Central State. Wait a minute, didn't Ray Diddy? No, not Glenn got an award last night or something, didn't he, from the Flyers? He got something from the Flyers.
For Tell Us Your Story?
No, not for that. It was. This is what happens when you long talk, because we were talking about one thing, and then I thought about something else. Well, that's why you don't long
congrats,
talk.
Glenn, for an award I didn't know about.
I think he got something from the Flyers. But anyway, yeah, I was on Tell Us Your Story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Well, you know, you need to tell us stuff like that. We could pull the audio.
You know what?
Last time Hugh told us about the one time he was on the radio station, we cooked him for it. For the Panthers game. So.
Well, I was also just thinking in a slow day, we just play that, leave for an hour, and just play the audio. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up. We'll ask Ross Tucker about the win and if he thinks the Vikings are a legitimate threat, plus more of your phone calls. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
See, that's what happens when you long talk. But this holiday season, warm to the comfort foods you love, made even better with Hatfield pork. That's right, I'm talking about bacon, and nothing brings holiday cheer quite like bacon on everything. I'm talking about morning, noon, and night. I can eat breakfast. I can eat bacon for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. And for appetizers, holiday dinners, bacon adds that perfect touch to all, and your family will love it. If you want some recipes, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail location near you. Give the gift of flavor with bacon this season. From Hatfield.
What a song. Appropriate for the time. So yeah, you in the holiday spirit?
No, I don't like this song.
What do you don't like this
That's
song?
That's real specific. A Sable, that ain't cheap.
Say it, Hugh.
Let me stop. I'm getting triggered again. Trigger warning. She want a 50-foot convertible.
Yeah.
What do you think this is? Yeah, I know everybody like, damn it, Hugh, what's wrong
Grinch
with you?
Douglas over here. Anyway, you know what this means. It means time for our next guest, Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL on social media for his daily. Ross, how are you doing today?
Ross. I am doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, we're good, especially because the way the Eagles are playing here, Ross. 10 in a row, a franchise record. And, Ross, Sunday was fun for a lot of reasons, but one, and maybe the biggest one, was the passing game. It felt like their most complete effort of the season. What did you notice with Jalen and the passing game on Sunday?
Well, so this is critically important. I think everybody understands it. But the Eagles have to be a pick-your-poison type of team, right, where if you want to sell out, to try to stop Saquon and the running game, and you're going to have one safety in the middle of the field that essentially puts the guys on the outside a lot of times man-to-man, you got to be able to make them pay. And the Eagles hadn't been doing that in a bunch of their games. They were able to do it in this one, which is huge because now every team they play, and they'll vary it, right? It's not always going to be the same thing. But every D coordinator majors in something. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest with you, if I'm playing the Eagles, I still do what the Steelers did. And I still force Jalen Hurts to have a good game and to play well. But he did. And he showed he can. And so that's what's huge. It's so nice when he gets the ball out of his hands quickly like he did. They have outstanding receivers. We all already know that. He looked very confident. Very comfortable. Looked like he had a really good feel for what the Steelers were doing. And that was obviously a tremendous sign. I will say this. I said this, Joe, on the Ross report that you referenced on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I really hope Eagles fans appreciate this offensive line. It is absurd. This is not normal. You know, I did Patriots Cardinals on Sunday. This week I'm doing radio Chargers Broncos. Then Sunday I'm doing Colts Titans. I watch a lot of film, a lot of these other teams. They're like different stratospheres. I mean, none of the guys for the Patriots would play a down for the Eagles. I don't know that any of the guys for the Colts, maybe Quentin Nelson. It's unbelievable how good they are up front. And what that means for her to annoy this entire team.
What, from your speculation, Ross, why has it taken the passing game so long? Like, last week was great, but why has it taken so long for it to get to this point?
I don't know. I'd have to go through the games, Hugh, because I feel like there was a game, I don't know if it was a month or two ago, but I was like, that's Jalen Hurts' best game this year. You know, it's been a while since I said that, right? They haven't had to have him do that. I think now this is the new Jalen Hurts, best game of the year. I think I have no explanation for why he was not throwing the ball against the Carolina Panthers to open receivers in the first couple seconds. Only he can really answer that. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, what we do on this show, what we do in the media, is we take every week and we act like that's what they are. So, like, last week, we were saying Hurts in the passing game are bad. They're a bad passing game. This week, because they look so good, we're saying, okay, they're back. This is who they are. What took them so long? It's such a week-to-week thing. Mm. My guess, and this might not be what people want to hear, but my guess is they're probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like, they're probably not as bad throwing the ball as they were against Carolina, but they're also probably not going to click on all cylinders on the regular like they did against the Steelers. They're somewhere in between. And I would say if they just split the difference between those two games, that's good enough in the passing game for this team to go anywhere they want to go.
Well, I agree with that. And with the offensive line you mentioned, with the playmakers, with Jalen, with the running back, I mean, it's hard to imagine a team stopping them if they're balanced and can do both things. Ross, let's talk about the NFC and the big picture right now. And I'm curious about a team we brought up a few minutes ago that we really haven't given a lot of time to this year, at least on our show, because we've talked about, well, the Lions have been the best. We know they're dealing with injuries right now. Green Bay looks dangerous. They did it last year a little bit. The Eagles. But how about the Minnesota Vikings, Ross? How seriously do you take them as a real contender to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC? Their record says they are, but it's kind of weird because no one expected this. Then the quarterback got hurt. And it's like, oh, yeah, Sam Darnold. But, boy, that coach is good. And they it seems like they're well coached on both sides with Flores and with Kevin O'Connell. How seriously do you take the Vikings?
No question. He's now the favorite for coach of the year in the NFL. He's done a fantastic job. I was just thinking about this. I'm really glad that the Eagles are going to be the one or the two seed, because those 3-6 and 4-5 matchups, those are going to be amazing. Because let's just say it's the Bucks and the Rams win those other divisions. They're both playing really well right now. And with Mike Evans back and with the way we look at the Rams, they have a puncher's chance in any game they play. So let's just assume it stays the way it is right now. The Packers and Vikings at the Bucks and the Rams, those are going to be awesome football games. I mean, those are going to be very competitive, incredible football games. So it's good that the Eagles are going to be the one or the two. I don't put the Commanders in that same category. You know, I just don't – I have a tough time, Joe, picturing Sam Darnold and Minnesota coming to Philadelphia and winning. I think they've done a terrific job this year. I don't think that their roster – is nearly as good as the Eagles roster. I think if they were to win that game, Darnold would have to play the game of his life. Hurts would have to struggle and turn it over a couple times. Now, if it's in Minnesota and somehow the Vikings keep winning and they knock off the Lions and they get the number one seed, that might be a little bit different, but I still don't think the Vikings are at the same level as the Eagles, in particular up front, on both sides of the ball. So I would love to see what the betting line would be for that. Right now, the Eagles would clearly be favored against anybody in the NFC they would play, including the Lions. And listen, I know nobody wants to hear this, but I've never seen what the Lions are going through right now. I legitimately feel bad for their fans. This was supposed to be their year or the year or their best chance. They've lost 13 guys on defense. They've lost now Montgomery, their running back's done for the year. It is brutal. Those people have the worst luck, even worse than our luck in Philadelphia.
Ross, all right, so let's go off that. And it is unbelievable what's happened to the Lions and their defense with all the injuries they've had. And now you mentioned Montgomery as well, a big part of their offense. Ross, you kind of laid out your feelings on the Vikings. We know the Lions are dealing with a lot right now. So if you're the Eagles, which is the team in the NFC you don't want to play? Is it the Rams? I mean, Green Bay was, you know, they made a run last year. They're 10-4 and flying under the radar. Like, if you had to pick a team right now you wouldn't want to see if you're the Eagles, who is it in the NFC?
Well, so I'm gonna give the caveat of I'm not exactly sure how many of the Lions guys are gonna be back, right? So like their captain, middle linebacker Alex Anzalone, who's from Wyoming, by the way, like me and Taylor Swift, he is definitely gonna be coming back. So I need to do a little bit more research on what guys the Lions might be coming back, but assuming that most of them are done for the year, I think it's the Packers. You know, I watched a lot of Seahawks tape getting ready for the Cardinals-Patriots game I called Sunday. And the Seahawks, they were beating the crap out of people. They were beating the crap out of the Cardinals, that's for sure. The Packers took it to them. And the Packers, I called their game against the Lions on radio. They easily could have won that game against the Lions. You know, Dan Campbell went for it on fourth down a million times. They got it. I think there's a very compelling case that the Packers are the second best team in the NFC and the team that I would least like to see the Eagles play at this point.
It's interesting. Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's end with this. The Eagles defense has been incredible for a lot of reasons. Vic Fangio, also the young players they brought in, and some of the guys that were here took a step forward. And then the rookies, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. Ross, as of early Monday, Quinyon Mitchell had moved to the favorite at some sportsbooks to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And that's without interception. What do you think about that? Like, I think he deserves to be in the mix. It's just startling to me that he might not need an interception as a DB to win a major award. What do you make of that and his season as it continues?
I would say that that's progress, and that makes me happy for us as human beings, because usually it's like we need to have a tangible statistic that is like interceptions to be able to make a wager or to vote for someone for something. I'll give you an example, right? The Commanders, they got their first game with Marshawn Lattimore on Sunday. He played 49 snaps. He didn't register a single statistic. That's usually a good thing for a corner, right? Like, people say, oh, he's a corner. He had 8 tackles. Yeah, because he gave up 8 catches. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm glad, Joe, that there are enough advanced statistics now in terms of how many yards per game Mitchell allows, how many catches he allows to guys in his area. I'm glad that there's enough things there that we don't just give it to the guy that has the most sacks and pressures, because we can quantify that. Quinyon Mitchell has been the best defensive rookie in the NFL this year that I've seen. The Rams have a couple guys that are very close, but I think he's been the best rookie this year. He has been a Pro Bowl caliber corner from like the first day of training camp. It's unbelievable. He deserves that award.
Yeah, and Howie nailed that, and the Cooper DeJean pick. It's been really, really good. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Ross, we won't talk next week, so we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up
Merry
soon.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll a lot to talk about in the month of January. Thank you, Ross.
Likewise. Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. Christmas next week, huh?
Yeah. Are you ready? You do all your shopping?
No. I mean, you know, I like Harper's mom take care of all that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Know. Yeah.
So just throw money.
If you didn't, you've got to buy things. You got to do it right now. Or you got like a day or two on Amazon, and they'll get it to you before Christmas. Yeah. Otherwise, you're out of luck.
Yeah, I got my sweater.
I got my
sweater for the party we having this weekend.
We're gonna be stateside this weekend.
Stateside vodka.
For our Eagles. We haven't done a road pregame show on the road,
man, since I got here.
So I did a few of them back in the day with Glenn and Ross. Actually,
is that the one where you're gonna be on the stage? We're gonna see. I don't know where we're going. I just know where the general area is.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it'll be set up Sunday, but it'll be fun. So we'll give you more details as the week goes on. We're having an ugly sweater pregame show on Sunday before the Eagles and the Commanders. 215-592-9494. You know what we haven't done today? We have not checked in on the Twitter poll. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Did we overreact last week? 79% saying yes, Hugh. 79% believing we overreacted last week.
That means 79% of y'all are delusional.
Mm-hmm. I like that response to a poll question that goes the way you
no,
don't like.
I mean, no, it's just that you're delusional. I mean, because we are reacting to the temperature of the team and what they gave us. So, yeah. You're delusional.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I, and you know what? There's... Once in a while, we agree.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for
you
for
are
polling.
Crazy, but I love you. Let's go to, you know what, we're going to go Marple Mac. Thinks he has a solution to this whole thing. Marple Mac?
Hey, I was just talking to a fellow conservative out here, diehard Eagle fan named Mike, where I pick up my food, my dog food.
Okay.
And here's the solution. It's very simple. Like I told Kyle, and I never deviate from what I say, to use point to be on the point. And this dovetails into been a year and a half since nobody wants to address it. Now that Brandon Graham has access and free in his sideline, why can't he look into it?
The Cartwright letters?
That'd be something productive to my letters.
Yeah. So you want to, you know, go ahead.
I could actually write one to his name, restricted delivery, certified delivery, so he could actually sign it, because the last 4 or 5 that I've written, it looks like somebody's playing doctor, it looks like an EKG reading.
Well, Mac, you should send that here to the station.
Yeah, I mean, BG comes in once
he sure
a week.
Does.
So you address it, BG, and we'll make sure he gets it.
Because listen, guys, I'm not playing around here, okay? This isn't a
Me
joke.
Me neither.
Okay, listen, I work as a maintenance engineer at a 5-star hotel, and I have access to all kind of people from all over the place. All kind of people. Carolina Panthers, Giants, all that. And they're all interested, and get this, one team actually wrote back to me.
Oh, which team?
So that's what you don't really care about. That you don't really care
well, no,
about that.
No, I do.
That,
I'm curious.
No,
which
you don't. No. Here's what's going to work.
Fired up,
you
Marvel
don't
Man.
Do it, and I wouldn't be shocked. All of a sudden, you get a call from somebody, and they say, "What would you want to talk about?" Whatever. Hey, Marple Mac. Oh boy, news flash item there, huh? You want it to come to that, guys? Just look. Just have Brandon Graham look into it. I'll write one to him, and he can do something about it. Peace out.
Wow.
He don't like you no more.
He's getting tired of our BS.
Hold on a second.
Y'all play
tired
too much.
Tired of our BS.
I didn't say a word. He that was geared towards you.
What did I do here?
You're not taking
making see, a mockery of the Cartwright letters. What's your problem?
You want me to tell you what happened?
Serious business.
You want me to tell you what happened? Like, he came on here
I'm
standing.
I'm the only one acknowledging this guy's letters for a year and a half, and it's my fault.
You see, he was done talking to me a while ago because he knew that dog wasn't hunting over here. Kyle tried to make fun of him.
What?
Yeah, you were making fun of
Kyle. You put this on me?
Yes. Kyle, he's trying to make a point, and you're out there, you're poking the bear.
Put him on the air.
Said. Yeah, you did. It did. You started saying, well, hey, Marble, dude, why don't you send him to the station? Why
that, do, why well, because you I think that
fast tracks it to Brandon Graham.
It's the most likely way he gets the letters. Well, obviously, the Eagles aren't taking the letters seriously.
I don't think he saw it that way.
Clearly not.
Like, he didn't see it that way. And he's tired of your baloney.
My baloney.
Yes.
There hasn't been one letter that he wrote me that I haven't responded to.
No, he's tired of your baloney,
Joe. The Eagles, obviously. Sirianni's got a boatload of letters at the facility he hasn't responded to.
He started dropping names and talking about the people that he knows that's in positions of power.
Well, now it's worth wondering. He said the Panthers opened this letter?
Yeah.
How's that worked out for the Panthers? He said
one team responded.
He said two things. He said he knows people
from the Panthers.
From the Panthers, and he said somebody opened their letter.
You know, we have a lot of people who call this show who know people in high power. I mean, Herb's hanging out with the NFL PA last night.
Want to play with me?
You got Marple Mack over here who's got access to NFL teams. I mean, we get things done here on the Midday Show. We know people in high places. Herb, Marple Mack.
Marple Mack tired of you. I'm just saying, though, dog.
That was
Marple Mack tired.
I haven't heard Marple Mack that fired up in a long time.
He's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Ken and Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good,
man. What's up, Ken?
Give Marple Mack some credit, man. He unclogged Dave Canales' toilet when they were in here for the Eagles game last
week. That does not help what we're talking about, Ken.
Excuse me.
That does not help.
I'm sorry if I gave the impression I was trying to be helpful. Hugh, I do have a bourbon tip for you. I picked this up at a trip we made to Napa in June.
What you got?
So you take some normal, ordinary bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
You take some bananas that are just past ripe. You cut them up in little pieces. You put them in the bourbon with maybe a tablespoon of brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You freeze that until that stuff all floats to the top. And you've got banana, and then you skim it off and strain it. You've got banana and brown sugar infused bourbon. Ooh. It's like banana.
You know what's funny, Ken? I've seen a lot of people start to do certain things like that with bourbon, like pour different things in it and then take it out,
mm-hmm.
or use like what cheesecloth to separate it. That's pretty interesting.
It's delicious. It's like bananas Foster in a glass. It's fantastic.
I might try that.
Yeah, it's real easy to do too. You guys didn't start it, okay? So you didn't start it. But what happens is that, look, I know that as much as you guys all want the Eagles to win every week, there's nothing that you maybe look forward to more from now and again than a Monday after an Eagles loss. And that's a particularly spicy day. And the Eagles haven't given you any of those in 11 weeks. So what happens is something like this comes up, and it's not – you're doing. They started it. But then the frivolity that comes off of that, not so much from you as from some of the callers and just the people out there in WIP land, and the nonsense that people will call up this radio station, put their name on, and talk about forever, recorded on Odyssey, by the way. So, you know.
Frivolity is awesome.
Chris from Middletown, I've always believed he was a clown. I want to thank him for confirming that for me this morning. You know, and I don't do caller on caller. You guys know that. But so Brandon Graham never said that there was turmoil in the locker room. A.J. Brown never said that this is 2023 all over again. None of this stuff ever happened. But for the people that are still too obtuse to acknowledge that they have been wrong about Nick Sirianni all along, and that Nick Sirianni really is a really good football coach, they were lying in the grass for something like this. And since he's not giving them losses, they have to lie in the grass for stuff like this. And then come out of the woodwork and say, oh, where's Nick? What's Nick doing about it? Because Nick is supposed to know what A.J. Brown is going to say to a reporter after a game before A.J. Brown actually says it. Like, the level of stupidity here is epic. And, you know, so, yeah, you guys didn't start it, but then what happens is it just turns into this brush fire, and that's why you get Jalen reacting the way he reacted, that, you know, when he sat down with his, you know, with his Nino Brown look the other day at the post-game press conference and said, hey, so that's what you guys were looking for?
Yeah, and it's like a game of telephone, Cran. It's just like it goes from one to the other, and then it ends with Jalen saying, yeah, is that what you all wanted to see? Yes, it's what we wanted to see, Jalen, of course.
I want to see wins. And the funny thing is that now the latest one is that Nick Sirianni hasn't really been a good football coach all along. Oh, no. Within the last 10 weeks, Nick Sirianni has changed. So it's not that people were wrong, that the guy wasn't winning football games all along, and it wasn't a coincidence. It's that they were right. He was a clown, and now he's not a clown anymore in the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, he took the red nose off and the face paint off. No, I can't. Really. I hear you. I get your point. And look, I think it's a good phone call, and I think Hugh got himself a drink recommendation there.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Whiskey? The bourbon? That sounds pretty good. I love when we get a caller like Ken, who's got something stewing from a call he heard hours ago.
Call on crime?
Yeah, but he wasn't. He prefaced it. He doesn't do mostly call on crime.
But that's call on crime.
Yeah, Chris got it this morning. It happens. I mean, listen, once in a while you hear something, you got to react. I mean, Hugh opened the show today reacting to what he heard and throwing.
Crashed out. The kids say, I crashed. The fact that somebody texts me, no, you crashed it out. That to me is funny. And then Will, shout out to Will. Putting me on the couch and just telling me to calm my ass down in the nicest way you could.
You have to watch Good Will Hunting. I mean, it was almost like I was watching Robin Williams and Matt Damon hug it out. Like, it's not your fault.
You said, calm down.
It's not your fault.
We got you with your crazy ass.
215-592-9494. We got a lot to do with the rest of the show here today. We got to get to Kiss the Baby. We do it every Tuesday on this show. So the goal is to try to have a perfect playoff bracket by the end of the year, which means we have to eliminate all the teams that don't make the playoffs, but also eliminate them before they actually get eliminated. We know someone around here struggled with that the last 2 weeks. We'll check in on Kiss the Baby. And we got to bring you this, a conversation down in Dallas this morning with Jerry Jones. It's gone totally off the rails.
You have got to be smoking something.
Oh, Jerry, what did he say now? You'll hear Jerry Jones kind of your phone calls. 215-592-9494. Did we overreact as a fan base last week? And the Vikings, should we start taking them seriously as a legit contender in the NFC? Ross Tucker didn't think so. Hugh thinks the Bears are going to beat the Lions, so we're all over the place here.
Bears.
215-592-9490 for the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Pacific, a Sable, that ain't cheap.
Sing it, Hugh.
Let me stop. I'm getting triggered again. Trigger warning. She want a 50-foot convertible.
Yeah.
What do you think this is? Yeah, I know everybody like, damn it, Hugh, what's wrong
Grinch
with you?
Douglas over here. Anyway, you know what this means. It means time for our next guest, Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL on social media for his daily Ross. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross.
I am doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, we're good, especially because the way the Eagles are playing here, Ross. 10 in a row, a franchise record. And, Ross, Sunday was fun for a lot of reasons, but one, and maybe the biggest one, was the passing game. It felt like their most complete effort of the season. What did you notice with Jalen and the passing game on Sunday?
Well, so this is critically important. I think everybody understands it. But the Eagles have to be a pick-your-poison type of team, right, where if you want to sell out, to try to stop Saquon and the running game, and you're going to have one safety in the middle of the field that essentially puts the guys on the outside a lot of times man-to-man, you got to be able to make them pay. And the Eagles hadn't been doing that in a bunch of their games. They were able to do it in this one, which is huge, because now every team they play, and they'll vary it, right? It's not always going to be the same thing. But every D coordinator majors in something. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest with you, if I'm playing the Eagles, I still do what the Steelers did. And I still force Jalen Hurts to have a good game and to play well. But he did. And he showed he can. And so that's what's huge. It's so nice when he gets the ball out of his hands quickly like he did. They have outstanding receivers. We all already know that. He looked very confident, very comfortable, looked like he had a really good feel for what the Steelers were doing, and that was obviously a tremendous sign. I will say this. I said this, Joe, on the Ross report that you referenced on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I really hope Eagles fans appreciate this offensive line. It is absurd. This is not normal. I did Patriots Cardinals on Sunday. This week I'm doing radio Chargers Broncos. Then Sunday I'm doing Colts Titans. I watch a lot of film, a lot of these other teams. They're like different stratospheres. I mean, none of the guys for the Patriots would play a down for the Eagles. I don't know that any of the guys for the Colts, maybe Quentin Nelson. It's unbelievable how good they are up front. And what that means for her to annoy this entire team.
What, from your speculation, Ross, why has it taken the passing game so long? Like, last week was great, but why has it taken so long for it to get to this point?
I don't know. I'd have to go through the games, Hugh, because I feel like there was a game, I don't know if it was a month or two ago, but I was like, that's Jalen Hurts' best game this year. You know, it's been a while since I said that, right? They haven't had to have him do that. I think now this is the new Jalen Hurts' best game of the year. I think I have no explanation for why he was not throwing the ball against the Carolina Panthers to open receivers in the first couple seconds. Only he can really answer that. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, what we do on this show, what we do in the media, is we take every week and we act like that's what they are. So, like, last week, we were saying Hurts in the passing game are bad. They're a bad passing game. This week, because they look so good, we're saying, okay, they're back. This is who they are. What took them so long? It's such a week-to-week thing. Mm. My guess, and this might not be what people want to hear, but my guess is they're probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like, they're probably not as bad throwing the ball as they were against Carolina, but they're also probably not going to click on all cylinders on the regular like they did against the Steelers. They're somewhere in between. And I would say if they just split the difference between those two games, that's good enough in the passing game for this team to go anywhere they want to go.
Well, I agree with that. And with the offensive line you mentioned, with the playmakers, with Jalen, with the running back, I mean, it's hard to imagine teams stopping them if they're balanced and can do both things. Ross, let's talk about the NFC and the big picture right now. And I'm curious about a team we brought up a few minutes ago that we really haven't given a lot of time to this year, at least on our show, because we've talked about, well, the Lions have been the best. We know they're dealing with injuries right now. Green Bay looks dangerous. They did it last year a little bit. The Eagles. But how about the Minnesota Vikings, Ross? How seriously do you take them as a real contender to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC? The record says they are, but it's kind of weird because no one expected this. Then the quarterback got hurt. And it's like, oh, yeah, Sam Darnold. But, boy, that coach is good. And they it seems like they're well coached on both sides with Flores and with Kevin O'Connell. How seriously do you take the Vikings?
No question. He's now the favorite for coach of the year in the NFL. He's done a fantastic job. I was just thinking about this. I'm really glad that the Eagles are going to be the one or the two seed, because those 3-6 and 4-5 matchups, those are going to be amazing. Because let's just say it's the Bucs and the Rams win those other divisions. They're both playing really well right now. And with Mike Evans back and with the way we look at the Rams, they have a puncher's chance in any game they play. So let's just assume it stays the way it is right now. The Packers and Vikings at the Bucs and the Rams, those are going to be awesome football games. I mean, those are going to be very competitive, incredible football games. So it's good that the Eagles are going to be the one or the two. I don't put the Commanders in that same category. You know, I just don't – I have a tough time, Joe, picturing Sam Darnold and Minnesota coming to Philadelphia and winning. I think they've done a terrific job this year. I don't think that their roster is nearly as good as the Eagles roster. I think if they were to win that game, Darnold would have to play the game of his life. Hurts would have to struggle and turn it over a couple times. Now, if it's in Minnesota and somehow the Vikings keep winning and they knock off the Lions and they get the number one seed, that might be a little bit different, but I still don't think the Vikings are at the same level as the Eagles, in particular up front on both sides of the ball. So I would love to see what the betting line would be for that. Right now, the Eagles would clearly be favored against anybody in the NFC they would play, including the Lions. And listen, I know nobody wants to hear this, but I've never seen what the Lions are going through right now. I legitimately feel bad for their fans. This was supposed to be their year or the year or their best chance. They've lost 13 guys on defense. They've lost now Montgomery, their running back's done for the year. It is brutal. Those people have the worst luck, even worse than our luck in Philadelphia.
Ross, all right, so let's go off that. And it is unbelievable what's happened to the Lions and their defense with all the injuries they've had. And now you mentioned Montgomery as well, a big part of their offense. Ross, you kind of laid out your feelings on the Vikings. We know the Lions are dealing with a lot right now. So if you're the Eagles, which is the team in the NFC you don't want to play? Is it the Rams? I mean, Green Bay was, you know, they made a run last year. They're 10-4 and flying under the radar. Like, if you had to pick a team right now you wouldn't want to see if you're the Eagles, who is it in the NFC?
Well, so I'm gonna give the caveat of I'm not exactly sure how many of the Lions guys are going to be back, right? So, like, their captain, middle linebacker, Alex Anzalone, who's from Wyoming, by the way, like me and Taylor Swift, he is definitely going to be coming back. So I need to do a little bit more research on what guys the Lions might be coming back. But assuming that most of them are done for the year, I think it's the Packers. You know, I watched a lot of Seahawks tape getting ready for the Cardinals-Patriots game I called Sunday. And the Seahawks, they were beating the crap out of people. They were beating the crap out of the Cardinals, that's for sure. The Packers took it to them. And the Packers, I called their game against the Lions on radio. They easily could have won that game against the Lions. You know, Dan Campbell went for it on fourth down a million times. They got it. I think there's a very compelling case that the Packers are the second best team in the NFC and the team that I would least like to see the Eagles play at this point.
It's interesting. Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's end with this. The Eagles' defense has been incredible for a lot of reasons. Vic Fangio, also the young players they brought in, and some of the guys that were here took a step forward. And then the rookies, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. Ross, as of early Monday, Quinyon Mitchell had moved to the favorite at some sportsbooks to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And that's without interception. What do you think about that? Like, I think he deserves to be in the mix. It's just startling to me that he might not need an interception as a DB to win a major award. What do you make of that and his season as it continues?
I would say that that's progress, and that makes me happy for us as human beings, because usually it's like we need to have a tangible statistic that is like interceptions to be able to make a wager or to vote for someone for something. I'll give you an example, right? The Commanders, they got their first game with Marshawn Lattimore on Sunday. He played 49 snaps. He didn't register a single statistic. That's usually a good thing for a corner, right? Like, people say, oh, he's a corner. He had 8 tackles. Yeah, because he gave up 8 catches. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm glad, Joe, that there are enough advanced statistics now in terms of how many yards per game Mitchell allows, how many catches he allows to guys in his area. I'm glad that there's enough things there that we don't just give it to the guy that has the most sacks and pressures because we can quantify that. Quinyon Mitchell has been the best defensive rookie in the NFL this year that I've seen. The Rams have a couple guys that are very close, but I think he's been the best rookie this year. He has been a Pro Bowl caliber corner from like the first day of training camp. It's unbelievable. He deserves that award.
Yeah, and Howie nailed that, and the Cooper DeJean pick. It's been really, really good. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Ross, we won't talk next week, so we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up
Merry
soon.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll have a lot to talk about in the month of January. Thank you, Ross.
Likewise. Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. Christmas next week, huh?
Yeah. Are you ready? Damn. You do all your shopping?
No. I mean, you know, I look like Harper's mom take care of all that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Just throw money.
If you didn't, you've got to buy things. You got to do it right now. You got to, or you got like a day or two on Amazon, and they'll get it to you before Christmas. Yeah. Otherwise, you're out of luck.
Yeah, I got my sweater.
I got my
new sweater for the party we having this weekend.
We're gonna be stateside this weekend.
Stateside vodka.
For our Eagles. We haven't done a road pregame show on the road
since I got here.
So I did a few of them back in the day with Glenn and Ross. Actually,
is that the one where you're gonna be on the stage? We're gonna see. I don't know where we're going. I just know where the general area is.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it'll be set up Sunday, but it'll be fun. So we'll give you more details as the week goes on. We're having an ugly sweater pregame show on Sunday before the Eagles and the Commanders. 215-592-9494. You know what we haven't done today? We have not checked in on the Twitter poll. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Did we overreact last week? 79% saying yes, Hugh. 79% believing we overreacted last week.
That means 79% of y'all are delusional.
Mm-hmm. I like that response to a poll question that goes the way you
no,
don't like.
I mean, no, it's just that you're delusional. I mean, because we are reacting to the temperature of the team and what they gave us. So, yeah. You're delusional.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you know what? There's once in a while, we
agree. Thank you for listening. Thank you for
you
for
are polling. Crazy, but I love you. Let's go to, you know what, we're going to go. Marple Mac thinks he has a solution to this whole thing. Marple Mac?
Hey, I was just talking to a fellow conservative out here, diehard Eagle fan named Mike, where I pick up my food, my dog food.
Okay.
And here's the solution. It's very simple. Like I told Kyle, and I never deviate from what I say, to use point to be on a point. And this dovetails into year and a half since nobody wants to address it. Now that Brandon Graham has access and free in his sideline, why can't he look into it?
The Cartwright letters?
That'd be something productive to my letters.
Yeah. So you want to, you know, go ahead.
I could actually write one to his name, restricted delivery, certified delivery, so he could actually sign it, because the last 4 or 5 that I've written, it looks like somebody's playing doctor. It looks like an EKG reading.
Well, Mac, you should send that here to the station.
Yeah, I mean, BG comes in once
sure
a week.
Does.
So you address it,
no,
BG, and we'll make sure he gets it.
Because, listen, guys, I'm not playing around here, okay? This isn't a
Me
joke.
Me neither.
Okay, listen, I work as a maintenance engineer at a 5-star hotel, and I have access to all kind of people from all over the place. All kind of people. Carolina Panthers, Giants, all that. And they're all interested, and get this, one team actually wrote back to me.
Oh, which team?
So that's what you don't really care about. That you don't really care
well, no,
about.
No, I do.
That,
I'm curious.
No,
which
you don't. No. Here's what's going to work.
Fired up,
you don't
man.
Do it, and I wouldn't be shocked. All of a sudden, you get a call from somebody, and they say, "What would you want to talk about? Whatever." Hey, Marple Mac. Oh boy, news flash item there, huh? You want it to come to that, guys? Just look. Just have Brandon Graham look into it. I'll write one to him, and he can do something about it. Peace out.
Wow.
He don't like you no more.
He's getting tired of our BS.
Y'all play too
Hold
much.
On a second.
Y'all play
tired
too much.
Tired of our BS.
I didn't say a word. He that was geared towards you.
What did I do here?
You're not taking
making see, a mockery of the Cartwright letters. What's your problem?
You want me to tell you what happened?
It's a serious business.
You want me to tell you what happened? Like, he came on here standing.
I'm the only one acknowledging this guy's letters for a year and a half, and it's my fault.
You see, he was done talking to me a while ago because he knew that dog wasn't hunting over here. Kyle tried to make fun of him.
What?
Yeah, you were making fun of
Kyle. You put this on me?
Yes. Kyle, he's trying to make a point, and you're out there, you're poking the bear.
Put him on the air.
Said. Yeah, you did. And then you start saying, well, hey, Marple, dude, why don't you send him to the station?
I think that fast tracks it to Brandon Graham.
That's the most likely way he gets the letters. Well, obviously, Eagles aren't taking the letters seriously.
I don't think he saw it that way.
Clearly not.
Like, he didn't see it that way. And he's tired. He's tired of your baloney.
My baloney?
Yes.
There hasn't been one letter that he wrote me that I haven't responded to.
No, he's tired of your baloney,
The Eagles, obviously. Sirianni's got a boatload of letters at the facility he hasn't responded to.
He started dropping names and talking about the people that he know that's in position of power.
Well, now it's worth wondering. He said the Panthers opened this letter?
Yeah.
How's that worked out for the Panthers?
He said one team responded.
He said two things. He said he knows people
from the Panthers.
From the Panthers, and he said somebody opened their letter.
You know, we have a lot of people who call this show who know people in high power. I mean, Herb's hanging out with the NFL PA last night.
Want to play with me?
You got Marple Mack over here who's got access to NFL teams. I mean, we get things done here on the Midday Show. We know people in high places. Herb, Marple Mack.
Marple Mack tired of you. I'm just saying, though, dog.
That was
Marple Mack tired.
I haven't heard Marple Mack that fired up in a long time.
No. He's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Ken and Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good,
man. What's up, Ken?
Give Marple Mack some credit, man. He unclogged Dave Canales' toilet when they were in here for the Eagles game last
week. That does not help what we're talking about, Ken.
Excuse me?
That does not help.
I'm sorry if I gave the impression I was trying to be helpful. Hugh, I do have a bourbon tip for you. I picked this up at a trip we made to Napa
in
June.
What you got?
So you take some normal, ordinary bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
You take some bananas that are just past ripe. You cut them up in little pieces. You put them in the bourbon with maybe a tablespoon of brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You freeze that until that stuff all floats to the top. And you've got banana, and then you skim it off and strain it. You've got banana and brown sugar infused bourbon.
Ooh.
It's like banana.
You know what's funny, You know what's funny, Ken? I've seen a lot of people start to do certain things like that with bourbon, like pour different things in it and then take it out,
mm-hmm.
or use like cheesecloth to separate it. That's pretty interesting.
It's delicious. It's like bananas Foster in a glass. It's fantastic.
I might try that.
Yeah, it's real easy to do too. You guys didn't start it, okay? So you didn't start it. But what happens is that, look, I know that as much as you guys all want the Eagles to win every week, there's nothing that you maybe look forward to more from now and again than a Monday after an Eagles loss. And that's a particularly spicy day. And the Eagles haven't given you any of those in 11 weeks. So what happens is something like this comes up, and it's not – you're doing, they started it. But then the frivolity that comes off of that, not so much from you as from some of the callers and just the people out there in WIP land, and the nonsense that people will call up this radio station, put their name on, and talk about forever, recorded on Odyssey, by the way. So, you know,
frivolity is awesome.
Chris from Middletown, I've always believed he was a clown. I want to thank him for confirming that for me this morning. You know, and I don't do caller on caller. You guys know that. But so Brandon Graham never said that there was turmoil in the locker room. A.J. Brown never said that this is 2023 all over again. None of this stuff ever happened. But for the people that are still too obtuse to acknowledge that they have been wrong about Nick Sirianni all along, and that Nick Sirianni really is a really good football coach, they were lying in the grass for something like this. And since he's not giving them losses, they have to lie in the grass for stuff like this. And then come out of the woodwork and say, oh, where's Nick? What's Nick doing about it? Because Nick is supposed to know what A.J. Brown is going to say to a reporter after a game before A.J. Brown actually says it. Like, the level of stupidity here is epic. And, you know, so, yeah, you guys didn't start it, but then what happens is it just turns into this brush fire, and that's why you get Jalen reacting the way he reacted, that, you know, when he sat down with his, you know, with his Nino Brown look the other day at the post-game press conference and said, hey, so that's what you guys were looking for?
Yeah, and it's like a game of telephone, Cren. It's just like it goes from one to the other, and then it ends with Jalen saying, yeah, is that what you all wanted to see? Yes, it's what we wanted to see, Jalen, of course.
I want to see wins.
And the funny thing is that now the latest one is that Nick Sirianni hasn't really been a good football coach all along. Oh, no. Within the last 10 weeks, Nick Sirianni has changed. So it's not that people were wrong, that the guy wasn't winning football games all along and it wasn't a coincidence. It's that they were right. He was a clown, and now he's not a clown anymore in the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, he took the red nose off and the face paint off. I get your point. And look, I think it's a good phone call, and I think Hugh got himself a drink recommendation there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
Whiskey, the bourbon, that sounds pretty good. I love when we get a caller like Ken, who's got something stewing from a call he heard hours ago.
Call on, call a crime.
Yeah, but he prefaced it. He doesn't do mostly call on, call a crime.
But that's call on, call a crime.
Yeah, Chris got him this morning. It happens. I mean, listen, once in a while you hear something, you got to react. I mean, Hugh opened the show today reacting to what he heard and throwing.
Crashed out. The kids say, I crashed. The fact that somebody texts me, you crashed it out. That to me is funny. And then Will, shout out to Will. Putting me on the couch and just telling me to calm my ass down in the nicest way you could.
You have to watch Good Will Hunting. I mean, it was almost like I was watching Robin Williams and Matt Damon hug it out. Like, it's not your fault.
You said, calm down.
It's not your fault.
We got you with your crazy ass.
215-592-9494. We got a lot to do with the rest of the show here today. We got to get to Kiss the Baby. We do it every Tuesday on this show. So the goal is to try to have a perfect playoff bracket by the end of the year, which means we have to eliminate all the teams that don't make the playoffs, but also eliminate them before they actually get eliminated. We know someone around here struggled with that the last 2 weeks. We'll check in on Kiss the Baby. And we got to bring you this, a conversation down in Dallas this morning with Jerry Jones. It's gone totally off the rails.
You have got to be smoking something.
Oh, Jerry, what did he say now? You'll hear Jerry Jones kind of your phone calls. 215-592-9494. Did we overreact as a fan base last week? And the Vikings, should we start taking them seriously as a legit contender in the NFC? Ross Tucker didn't think so. Hugh thinks the Bears are going to beat the Lions, so we're all over the place here.
The Bears.
215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.